Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
On September 17th, Howard and Morehouse will go head-to-head at MetLife Stadium in the HBCU New York Football Classic. For months, Hot 97 has followed these teams on their journey to New York City. We've witnessed their hard work, their passion, and their dedication to the game. Check out Hot 97's newest podcast, Captains and Majors, everywhere podcast is streamed, made hot by Orocast.
It's Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Ebro in the Morning, Laura Stiles, man. Rosenberg, give it up for Chicago's own G Herbo back on the program.
Friend of the show. Friend
it's
of
our
show.
Guy right here. It's you know what I'm saying? There was a time you used to come by here, Dirk, Bibby, all coming up at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah. It was, man. I literally remember being here with y'all 8-9 years ago, for real. Like, yeah. 8 years ago. 2014.
Well, we always knew you had that. You had something to say. B, you was getting to these raps. You was making great records. So for us, that's kind of like, you know what I'm saying? You wasn't just like a gimmick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You was coming from a real place with a real story. And you was really trying to be good at doing this rap shit in a real way. So for us, that's usually what we're looking at when we're like, yeah, let's support.
Although it's also can sometimes be the thing that makes me think someone wouldn't make it in this game to this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, for real.
Because
I say that a lot.
You weren't on that.
I say that a lot, man. And it's like, you know, I was just saying, I was just having a conversation with Mick not too long. It's like, the younger I was, the older I get, the more I realize when I was younger, like, I really had all the tools to, like, fail for real because I was so young coming in the game, like, and I had so much, like, recognition early on, like, responsibility being from Chicago and still, like, being in the streets. I feel like I could have really crashed out a long time ago if I didn't have, like, discipline and just focus to really have longevity in this game. You feel what I'm saying? Like, when you 16, 17 years old, people don't really be able to still be rapping when they 26, like, on this type of level, you feel
no,
me?
And particularly the way that the Chicago drill scene was built.
What exactly?
It did not seem like the kind of thing that
longevity came from.
No, that's...
Nah, you ain't lying, bro. That's crazy every time I think about it.
Have you, one of my favorite projects you put out was the PTSD project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Post-traumatic stress disorder, where you intimately get into what you was dealing with coming out of that environment.
Yeah.
I don't think you were celebrated enough for that album, musically, and the fact that you were leaning into dealing with your demons.
Yeah,
we had this conversation before. Time.
Yeah,
how is that process going? Because you don't just go like write about it, talk about it, and it's gone.
Exactly.
You have survivor's guilt, you know, making it out, you know, all these other things. How's that going?
I deal with it differently now because just I feel I'm maturing as a man, you know, like, and an artist at the same time. But that's why, like, this project right now that I'm dropping is important because I want to speak on it on a different level. Or just I feel like I had more moments of triumph since then, but it's got worse in a sense, you know what I'm saying? Like, my brother passed away in January 2021, you feel what I'm saying? He died, and then, like, every day now dealing with that is like I have to, no matter what I'm doing or any milestones or any goals I reach in life, I always feel like I can't really celebrate it how I want to. You feel what I'm saying? And that's like, it became normal in a sense. Like, you know what I'm saying? Dealing with death and dealing with trauma and having post-traumatic stress disorder, it became normal. It was like, all right, I'm just functioning. But on a higher scale of things is, man, me waking up 8 in the morning doing interviews and me waking up being with my kids and then having to go to the studio and, like, being a regular person mixed with being an artist and dealing with so much pressure and trauma every day, like, you know what I'm saying? It's hard keeping balance. You know, I fell into a real slump. I started drinking liquor, like, every day. Like, I wake up 8, 9 in the morning, 10 a.m., and I'm drinking alcohol.
Recently?
recently, yeah, like this past year. You feel what I'm saying? And I like speaking on it because people don't really realize that I'm still, they still, like, they'll see, like, oh, you heard drinking. He just getting drunk, having fun. But I'm really drinking so I could, like, get through the day because I'm mentally, I'm not really there. You feel what I'm saying? And people don't think that exists.
Mm. What's your wife say?
You know, she was, like, you know, it's crazy. Like, and you saying that because, like, especially when you're dealing with your woman, it's like she... They want to bring the best out of you, especially when you're dealing with a good woman, you feel what I'm saying? So she's seeing what I'm going through, and she's seeing why I'm doing it, you know? So she not trying to be as hard, but she'll tell me, like, you drinking a little too much. You got to stop drinking, you feel what I'm saying? And then I, like, cut it off, like, you know what I'm saying? Ah, I think she nagging me, but at the end of the day, it's like, for real, I really
she's seeing you from the outside.
She's seeing me from the outside. That, like, this is somebody that I live with every day, and she's seeing, like, the blink of an eye. I never used to drink. I didn't even used to drink to, like, really have fun hanging out with her, going to the club. I never got drunk. Now she's seeing me waking up, getting drunk, even when I got my kids. You feel what I'm saying?
Right, it's right,
like,
right.
That's different, but I'm not looking at it the way she's looking at it. You feel what I'm saying? She's seeing mentally, like, no, he's going through something, but I'm still smiling. I'm still finding ways to make myself smile, make other people around me smile, have my kids for a day. I'm still going to the studio. I'm still shooting videos. I'm still G Herbo, but at the end of the day, it's like Herbert Wright mentally. I'm going through a lot of stuff. You feel me? And she's seen it. She helped me a lot, though. I ain't gonna lie. She helped me because she support me through it. Like, she still support my BS. You feel what I'm saying? But she pushed me in a way where, like, I had to get out of it. Like, I really had to snap out of it. Like, man, I got to. Like, I really went on. Like, I just didn't drink. I ain't drink for, like, 45 days straight. And that broke the habit of me drinking every day. So now I drink, like, having fun. You feel me? Like, I don't have to get up and drink, but... I was like that, bro. After I lost my brother, I really started drinking.
I was
going
to say, was
day.
That the primary thing? Like, when you said it was hard for you every day.
Yeah. The day he died, I started drinking and I didn't stop.
Okay, so it was your brother's death directly.
Yeah.
Because high-functioning depression is a real thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think people talk about it enough. I remember a year ago, Miss Universe, remember, we had her as guest here.
That's right.
And she, here in New York, jumped off. Like, I don't know, the 20th floor of her building and
That's
committed
crazy.
Suicide. And she was happy all the time.
So it seemed.
So we thought.
Yeah. So we thought.
So you think. And I had a conversation with my guy from Chicago. I'm not even going to say his name. And he's like a somebody. You know what I'm saying? He was saying he had to stop drinking because he was contemplating suicide. But this somebody who I see every time, he's smiling, cool, regular. And I'm like, It dawned on me right then, like, that's why it's so important to talk about this stuff. That's why I feel like it's important to talk about, because I've never contemplated suicide or anything like that, but just depression. I started to, like, not care about a lot of stuff. Like, it was just, like, whatever. I was making terrible decisions, all types of stuff. But I'm saying all that to say you would see somebody and think they're perfectly fine and because they don't openly speak about it. And, you know, and you would think you're alone. But at the end of the day, when you speak about it, like him telling me this, it threw me for a loop, because it's like you don't even know the support that you had, the people that help you. Because I'm telling him, like, you somebody I care about. Just you telling me that right now, it gave me a whole nother, like, outlook on how I look at you and how I look at everybody else, because you don't even know the support that you have until you open up and say something. You feel what I'm saying? Like, it don't have to be your family. It don't have to be your closest friend. It's actually people out there that just care because they understand what you going through. You feel me?
That's powerful, man. How old are you now?
26.
26. And you've lived a life, man. Like,
yeah, I feel like
so
I
now,
lived a lot, like 10 different lifestyles.
But now,
it's crazy.
But this is the beauty. You look at your contemporaries, right? People who have been in this game rapping, or even just other men that you know that are 50. It's a whole other. And so how are you going to, for the next 25, you know what I mean? Manage that. And even with that comes the reality that we all have vices, right? Like, some people's vices are healthy vices.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they might run marathons and they're constantly training for a marathon and they're working for that marathon. And in your mind, you're like, yo, this person's healthy. They gunning for it. But I'm sure they going to therapy because the reason they run and work out so hard and do that is it's helping them deal with something.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if they miss a day, they're off. Yeah.
Right.
They can't. They're like, oh, I didn't run today.
Right. You know what I mean? And so, you know, you see people in the gym, or people with how they eat or meditate or yoga. You know what I mean? Everybody's.
Yeah.
Literally everyone is doing something to help them get through the stuff that they've endured.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a healthy habit.
Exactly.
Hopefully.
Right. And like, it's basically just help adulting. You know what I mean? Like, just being an adult is hard. And it's hard even if you're from the best of circumstances, let alone from a really rough part of the world where you've been experiencing the death and trauma and all these things for so long. Obviously, you've known people who have died before.
Yeah.
What was it? Was it just the closeness with your brother that made it a different sort of experience altogether?
Yeah, it was just him for real. And then, like, the reality of, you know, where I come from. I was just talking literally yesterday. I had a conversation just about, like, overall, we just touched on these bases. Like, me being young, coming in the game at 16 years old, I was in high school. But I'm an artist. I was G Herbo then. I had Kill Shit. I had these big records on, like, YouTube that was going viral. But I'm still in high school. I'm still losing my best friends. Like, I was just telling McNam yesterday, like, you got to really think about it. We had a long conversation just about how, like, everything, just me maturing into a man right now. You feel what I'm saying? Like, in high school, bro, like, we used to, I was telling them, my first week of high school, they pulled the fire alarm every single day. For, like, the school to get out, like, and we think, you know, when you kids, you thinking, oh, the fire alarm, let's go to the store, let's go ditch and go smoke a joint or some shit like that. And literally my first week of school, when they was pulling the fire alarm, somebody used to get shot every day. Like, somebody would get shot walking to the store, walking to McDonald's and shit, but they intentionally pulling the fire alarm so niggas could get out of school, so they could catch niggas going to the store and they getting shot. You feel what I'm saying? Like, crazy. Dealing with that early on, and that was normal.
How old are you at this?
I was 16 it happened, 15 years old. I was a freshman in high school, matter of fact. I was 15 years old. But it was so normal, and the reality of that, going through that, it make you think a certain way. But it's like, I didn't even think I was going through nothing super extreme back then. You feel what I'm saying? It was that normal. Right. But dealing with so much death and it just being like the reality of things and me being a superstar at the same time, like, I'm growing into that. And now that I'm a man and I could change my circumstance and change my life because I live in LA. I got 3 kids now. You feel, I make millions of dollars. I got employees. I'm changing so many people's lives. And then my brother, you know, I'm 25, 26 years old, and my brother get killed in a barbershop, like, just in Chicago randomly. And I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm really this, me and him, I'm talking to him every day, like, trying to get him to move to LA with me. You feel what I'm saying? Like, man, just come out here. He got kids. You know, I'm like, bro, just, you're going to have to sacrifice some months just coming out here, just figuring it out. You feel what I'm saying? Just come out here and figure it out. And, you know, this is my brother. So your kids, our grandma, mama, they going to fly out in and out. Like, just come out here and just get in a different environment. I felt it. I already knew it. You feel what I'm saying? And we was having a conversation like this literally the night before he died. And when it happened, it just threw everything off about me. Like, I just didn't really care. I didn't have no motivation for, like, music, nothing. But I knew I still needed to do this. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I knew I couldn't just give up all the way. I couldn't just, you know, but I snapped out of it. You feel, I'm still going to the studio. I'm still doing all this stuff, but I'm not myself. You feel me? Like, when I started drinking liquor, I was not myself. I didn't even know how to really handle it being off liquor because I was doing it to grieve. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm getting so drunk and I'm not realizing, but everybody around me, like, damn, Herb turning into something that he's not. You feel what I'm saying? And you got to really, like, just lean into the problem and understand. Because if I didn't really understand that I was turning into an alcoholic, it'll be way worse.
But it sounds like between your wife and the people who really, truly care about you, right? Yeah. You have
made me snap
going,
out of it.
Hey, my man. Yeah. Yo, my man. Yo.
My grandma, my mama, everybody. Like, for real.
It was
like,
on your head.
You don't need to drink. You feel? Because I'm thinking it's cool, but the people closest to me feeling it. You know, I'm coming home. I'm already angry. I'm already depressed. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm coming home arguing with my girl. The smallest thing just making me mad. You feel me? I'm thinking it's a regular argument, but she like, no, that's not even you. You wouldn't even be mad about this. You feel me?
Mm.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
June 2nd, UBS Arena. Hold on!
Sexy Red, French Montana, DeVito, Roller Brook, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Fari, 41 Cal Rich, Jet Carter, Tata, Chef G is home, baby, Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie, Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C.
Mr. C, Step Swimming,
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns, yours truly the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set, hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stiles. 30th anniversary of Summer Jam, 30% off right now. This offer ends at midnight on Sunday. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire!
Man, hey, God bless, bro.
For sure. Good for you for working through it, man.
The pain of loss, especially when you've moved to another level in life and you feel like you could save folks, mm-hmm. but the realization that you can't is a whole other level of, like,
exactly.
You're disappointed in yourself.
Yeah.
You're sad because it's like, yo, because if you were still in the hood and mm-hmm. that happened, you would rationalize it as,
it'd be different. Like,
we just in the hood. We stuck. This is what we're dealing
with. Exactly.
When you have access to other things,
it feels even like,
it feels heavier. Like, yo.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
I felt like a failure. I ain't going to lie. I definitely did.
But now, you know, but there's always a lesson in that. You know what I'm saying? There's always something to be learned about that you can share with your children and your brother's children, mm-hmm. right? About how to move. And, you know, I mean, and everybody's kind of going through it. You know, obviously this conversation, even with the PNB Rock story.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Or the conversation in Nipsey's story where it's like, yo, this is the neighborhood where he was taking care of folks, trying to do better, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. And still the hood came
right
and ate him up. You know what I mean? You know, rest in peace to PNB Rock, but knowing how to move out here and knowing when it's time to mm-hmm. zig and not, you know what I mean? That whole thing, I'm sure you have, but how are you dealing with the reality that you got to move different, just being someone who is successful and there's a target on your back because you're a rapper?
And, you know, the loss of PNB made it like 10 times harder, you feel what I'm saying? Because not only is that somebody that I looked at like a brother,
man, he's a great guy,
a great guy, you feel what I'm saying? Like, that really crushed me, you feel what I'm saying? But, like, on a whole different, like, scale of things, just being an artist, being a rapper, if I didn't know PNB from a can of paint, it'd still make me think, like, man, you feel what I'm saying, make you want to tighten up. Now you're paranoid now, you feel me? It'll make you paranoid. Like, I don't even want to go to the restaurant. I don't want to go to the store. I don't want to go to Target no more, you feel what I'm saying? If you can't, the average artist, like, sometimes we bigger than, our name is bigger than our lifestyle, you feel what I'm saying? So just being somebody on the internet and people thinking you somebody and you an artist and you really can't afford security now. So, I mean, you can't afford security to go everywhere you go. So now you feel you got to carry a gun. You feel what I'm saying? Like, people not really thinking of it like that. Mm-hmm. Like, just
that
the paranoia of being a somebody. Everybody know who you are. Everybody looking. Everybody want to take a picture. You feel what I'm saying? And me being who I am, I feel like I'm a normal guy still at the end of the day, because I'm just a humble person. Like, people, everywhere I go, you could see me. I hang out. Like, I hang out in front of a convenience store just out of town. You feel what I'm saying? I hang out in front of my hotel some nights. You feel me? Just wanting to be free, because we go through so much. Sometimes I just be wanting air just to just hang out. You feel me? And you can't even do that. That's not even normal. Like, the reality of being a human being is not normal, especially if you are somebody, an artist.
So do you take precautions? Like, and I say this delicately because obviously PNB's Rock situation was awful. But I couldn't help but think afterwards, like, about just artists in general and the way that everyone chooses to carry themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, you showed up here today. You have a watch on. But you're not wearing any jewelry. Mm-hmm. You're wearing a sweatshirt.
Look, I got on chains. They tucked in.
Oh, there you. But they're tucked. Oh, God forbid. So my question is, like, yeah. At what point, as an artist, you go, yes, the situation's already so messed up. What little precautions can I take? Whether it's not getting into it with people, mm-hmm. not associating with certain people, tucking the chain.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, do you have those thoughts just about avoiding drama?
Yeah, I always been big on following my intuition. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I just look in the mirror and just be like, I don't need to put no chains on today. Like, for what? You know? Like, literally, I say that. Like, I don't need to put no chains on. I'm just go pop out regular. You feel what I'm saying? Or sometimes it's like, I gotta have my security, or I gotta have my security and three of my homies with me. You feel what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, security is, he not gonna be able to watch every single thing. Like, you feel, you gotta think. It's only so much that security could watch. It's only so much security could avoid. You feel, I'm like dealing with fans and all that. He can't really deal with the fans, turn down every picture and still watch my back. You feel me? You gotta think about all of that. And I think about all that because I always been a paranoid person. Even before I was right hit G Herbo, I always felt like every day I leave out the house, something gonna happen to me, or something can't happen to me. Or somebody trying to do something to me. But that's right. The neighborhood I'm from. That come from walking to school and getting shot at 8 in the morning. That come from my first week of school, they pulling the fire alarm, people getting shot randomly. You feel what I'm saying? Like, that come from seeing my first murder at 9 years old. Mm. All of that come from that trauma that was built up over the years, and that paranoia that was built up over the years. And it's like, it bothered me. It's not okay to think that way. You feel what I'm saying? Like, it's not okay to not want to take my kids to the zoo. You feel what I'm saying? Like, the smallest thing like that, where you feel like, damn, I gotta have a gun to take my kids to the zoo or to the movies, or I gotta have security to take my kids to the movies. And that's cool, it's normal, you feel what I'm saying? Because that's my life, that's the reality of how I'm living now, but it's not normal to think that way, you feel me? It's cool to have security, but it's not normal to think you gotta have security or you gonna die, you feel me?
Right.
That's not normal.
Yes, yeah, it's sad. It's you know, we live in a country that's riddled with violence, but obviously, hip hop and rap and black and brown impoverished neighborhoods over index on the gun violence and the murders, right? Like, we, it's happening everywhere, but it happens way more where we at,
yeah.
Right? And so, you know, you do got to move different. Are you able to write about this on this new project? Do you, because you do a good job as an artist, and I think this is why people, look, there's some artists out here, they not stunting on the hood like that. They not making money and bragging, you know, and trying to make other people feel like they're not good enough. Because that's also a part of the culture, too.
Absolutely. That,
you know, it's, everybody knows, okay, boom, I'm an artist, I'm a musician, I got accomplishments, I want to start buying things. But there's individuals who show up to their former neighborhoods in effect to make other people feel small.
Mm-hmm.
And you're asking for problems.
You're asking
that.
For
I've always
problems.
Been on, like, why are you showing up in front of people that don't have, acting as if you're better than them because you do have? Mm-hmm. You're asking for problems. Why are you showing up, and this isn't even about the PNB Rock situation. Right. This is just about hip-hop and culture in general.
Exactly.
You're showing up to a town you're not from
mm-hmm.
to walk into a club with people who live there mm-hmm. to try to, like, take all their girls mm-hmm. or impress all the women as if them other dudes ain't
don't
living
matter.
There all, and don't matter. And that's, you think that's going
to be cool.
That's going to fly and there's not going to be problems. Or you're going to show up in neighborhoods where you don't know anybody, just dripping with, and somebody going to be like, nah, we don't know him or her. But this is going to be smooth, and they're going to make us feel insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's never...
That instinct that you have, like, everybody don't have that. I think that come from just us coming from the trenches for real. You feel what I'm saying? And seeing poverty and seeing how it worked. Because all my life, my career as an artist, you know what I'm saying? Since I've been making money, I always, like, toned down to it. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I never really, like... You never seen me go to my hood, shoot a video with a bunch of money on me. You never seen me really do none of that. Like, I go back with jewelry on, like, you feel what I'm saying? I go and show love, but it's really showing love. Like, I understand it's always been certain things I did or just certain purchases, big purchases I just never made because I know too many people that still hurt.
That's right.
You feel me? And I understand that. And just me being the person I am, I want to change that in a way. You feel what I'm saying? You got to understand, it's not even like, you can't even, and I was telling Mick this, when that situation first happened with PNB, and it's not even like, I'll just keep touching on that subject because it really threw me off, you feel me? But it's not even just about that one thing. You can't really blame people for not being able to think past go because they don't have nothing else but that mentality. They don't see nothing. So when you come from an environment where all you know is these four blocks and you ain't never seen nobody with a chain, you ain't never seen nobody with a watch, or you ain't never even, you don't even know what it feel like to get up and work and earn something. You don't even think it's possible for you to have this, for you to obtain these things that we obtain by hard work. You feel what I'm saying? And sacrifice. Certain people don't have that. You feel me? And they innocence, our innocence was taken from us young. You feel what I'm saying? Like our freedom to just be free and be yourself. And you know what I'm saying? Reach your full potential. A lot of people got that taken from them. So when they see opportunities to have certain things, whether it mean harming you or, you feel what I'm saying, risking their life, they not even thinking, I'm risking my own life just by trying to get this from you. They don't think that far past go. They just react to it. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't
That's
know.
All they know.
They don't know anything else but that. You feel what I'm saying? So us as artists and leaders and role models, we got to understand that we got to give these people the benefit of the doubt and knowing, like, it's haves and have-nots in the world. You know what I'm saying? And that don't make me any better than you because I have and you don't have. I think I should just show you how to get it. We got to start this cycle over, like, show everybody, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's why it's important for me. That's why I do so much stuff for the community, bro, for Chicago. Like, not just on no taking care of my hood, taking care of the guys, you feel what I'm saying? Like, that's why that is the school that I bought in Chicago, the facility that we about to open and make a real million-dollar, multi-million-dollar, like, media facility. It's because you got to get these kids outlet, opportunity, you know what I'm saying? Because
exposure.
Exposure, because we was robbed of that. So when I was 15, 16 years old, luckily I found rap and I was able to change my life off of that. But me being the same 14, 15, 16-year-old kid in my environment and I had absolutely nothing to look forward to, I'm going to sit outside on my block all day. I probably would have go to jail. I would be selling drugs. I probably would be trying to rob. You got to understand, those people have nothing else but that. You feel what I'm saying? And the kids, and I learned that just seeing my kids. Like, that's why my son is so funny. He's so charismatic because he's able to be free. He's able to be a kid. I was that same innocent kid until I wasn't. You feel what I'm saying? And you got to understand that.
G Herbo, man. Sky. Sky, man. I'm proud of you, man.
Appreciate it, bro.
It's great seeing you, man.
And Rosenberg started, you know, and you said in the beginning of this conversation that there were so many reasons when you was coming in the game for you not to succeed and fail. Mm-hmm. Even separately from the hood pulling you under type shit.
Just being 16 years old with money.
Right.
And all responsibility.
But even the style of music that you make, mm-hmm. right, which I'm a fan of, is not always the most popular music.
Yeah.
How were you able to sustain G Herbo? Because I think that's an important convo, right?
Yeah.
In a world where there's a lot of young artists feeling like, I want to create music, I want to contribute to hip hop, but here's what I hear that is popular, so I'm going to go make what's popular
right.
just to get in the game.
Yeah.
Versus, no, I'm going to be great at being a rapper and being an individual, and I'm going to carve out my sound and my lane, and I'm going to be able to financially sustain myself. How did you do that?
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
UBS Arena. Hold on! Sexy Red, French Montana, DeVito, Lola Brooke, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Fari, 41 Cal Rich, Jet Carter, Tata, Chef G is home, baby, Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie, Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C.
Mr. C, step swimming.
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Yours truly, the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set. Hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stiles. 30th anniversary of Summer Jam. 30% off right now. This offer ends at midnight on Sunday. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire.
I did it, man. I ain't going to lie. You just hit it right on the head. I did that by, like, just staying solid and staying myself when it wasn't cool to be. Like, you seen it. Like, I wasn't always the most popular rapper. Like, it was always Herbo offbeat. Herbo can't rap. You feel what I'm saying? But I always was true to myself. I was just telling a story, telling my story in a way where it was relatable to other people who understood what I was talking about, what I was trying to say. Like, I got into this, to the rap industry, not even trying to be a superstar or thinking I could be. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I got all my swag and confidence from just being, like, the best version of me. You feel what I'm saying? Like, to the world, I didn't have confidence of being like, oh, yeah, I'm that nigga to the world. You feel what I'm saying? When I was coming up, I was somebody in my neighborhood. You feel what I'm saying? And I got that confidence from them saying, like, you telling our story. You feel me? And like, that's what made me poke my chest out. Like, all right, I could rap and I could tell this story because they feel it. They get it. So maybe these people over here might get it. Maybe these people over here might get it. You feel what I'm saying? And then I got into my, like, swag being an artist, and I started to have fun with it at first, but I didn't even know how to have fun with it. I didn't know how to, like, flex and go viral and certain stuff. Like, even when I was, like, buying jewelry, I didn't know how to, like, really have a rapper swag. I just had, like, a street dude swag about it. Like, my whole aura was just...
But I think it's authentic.
It was authentic. I built some authentic, no gimmicks shit. Or nothing. You feel what I'm saying? Like, and that's, I feel like, why I have longevity or why I had longevity, because the youth was able to fill it in. Y'all was able to, like, damn, they kid, like, he knows something. He could rap, you feel what I'm saying?
Because the name Bibby of the game is hip-hop. You, exactly. Bibby, and Dirk.
Like how he came in, you feel me? But it wasn't, like, nobody was like that at first, you feel what I'm saying? I guess it was the swag of being in Chicago and just what we was going through, you feel me? Because I could probably, like, even Dirk, I done heard Dirk say, like, we weren't taking rap serious until we figured out, like, oh, no, this for real. We could really make some money off this. We could really, you know what I'm saying, change our life off of this. We was just really rapping on some, like, poking our chest out. Yeah, I'm from this my hood. This is we on, you feel what I'm saying? And this is what bro, that's how we all linked up, because we really knew each other from the streets. You feel what I'm saying? Like, we didn't meet through rap. Me, Dirk, Keith, Reese, we didn't really meet, like, linking up in the rap. We already knew each other from the streets, you feel what I'm saying? And it just picked up like that.
Did,
like,
you
organic.
But you guys, the you, Dirk, Bibby, etc.
Yeah.
That was like, you guys hit the scene in a big way after Keith and Reese.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their own, style and wave.
Yeah.
It seems like you guys almost were able to take advantage by watching.
It gave us inspiration.
Out.
It gave me inspiration.
And then be like, what can we do? How do we fit in this?
Exactly. Keith is an inspiration for a lot of people,
for
man.
A lot of people, man. I'm not even gonna lie. And you know what's so crazy? Now we talking about it, I just feel like I should speak on it. I seen a post where Charlamagne said he don't feel like Sosa is one of the most influential, like, globally. But I disagree.
Right.
Because without, like, probably right now you don't feel like that because you got the Drakes, the Futures, you got so many. But I feel like it wouldn't be a lot of artists if it wasn't for Sosa. I'm talking about a lot of styles, though. Like, I'm not going to even say no names. I'm not going to, like, say it wouldn't be this artist, it wouldn't be that artist. But I could literally, off the top of my head, I could probably name you 10 artists right now that I feel like they whole style, everything.
The idea of
global
drip,
artists, though.
Right, but the
global
idea
superstars,
of drill,
so you
in
can't
general.
Say that.
We don't know drip. Like,
right.
Drill.
Exactly. Right, I ain't even saying it. You already made that point hands
drill.
Down now. Exactly.
Well, how about the entire
period.
Sound of Brooklyn now?
Right. No, that's why I said drill, right. Period. Drill, whether period. It's UK, whether
exactly.
It's Brooklyn,
all
and everything in between. Yeah. Chief Keef.
Exactly.
It's pretty
now,
hard.
When you put him period. Up against, and this was, I think, where the conversation
yeah.
went. When you put Chief Keef up against Wayne, Hove,
right.
Kanye.
It's apples and oranges, though.
It's a tough comparison
right.
to say
right.
he's more influential than
no,
those individuals.
No, I didn't say that, but
but
what
he
I
is
read
very
was
influential.
He's not
influential yeah.
globally.
No,
yeah, I disagree with that
yeah,
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
He's actually, Chief Keef is an amazing documentary waiting to happen.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You should produce that.
Yes.
bro,
this is crazy.
Do y'all still have, y'all all still talk?
Yeah, that's my brother. I just was talking to Sosa when we was in L.A. probably like a couple days ago, but just manifestation, because I promise you I had this conversation yesterday. I had hours long just talking about, like, our come up, man, Sosa, and we, like, I was there. I seen it. We was talking about, me and Mick yesterday, we was talking about DJ Ken and just how it started. Mm. People don't even know all us recorded our very first songs in DJ Ken's house. People
you
don't
know
even
that.
Know DJ Ken. DJ
That's
Ken
right.
moved here from Asia and moved in Sosa them hood. I seen it from the beginning to now. Like, I seen it. We was like, man, that... could be a documentary. You know what I'm saying? Crazy. Something that, and you just said that today. Really, I'm like, bro, I'm telling you, it's crazy how life just work out. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, and I think it should be pointed out too, business-wise, mm-hmm. what y'all were able to do, right? Because a lot of people don't even know the level of business Bibby's on right now.
Yeah.
Bibby's an industry different. Power player.
For real.
Like
he's making artists. He's making pop artists.
That's
making,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's crazy.
To come from that to this, you feel what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
And being able to make mistakes. You know how many mistakes were made along the way, you feel what I'm saying, that people not seeing, but you got to be able to, like,
openly
talk about
it. But that's the whole road to success.
Exactly.
Though.
But they got to, people really people don't know the road to success shot. Comes with a million mistakes. You got to. Yeah. No, it's
don't
and work
like
that.
And your ability to get up, because some of those mistakes could end you.
Yeah, for real. Like, they could, you got to have a mental, like, capacity to really be able to, like, fight you through it, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people just, like you said, they just let it beat them, you feel what I'm saying? A lot of people just lose hope and just give up, you know what I'm saying? And you got to understand why people give up, because they don't have the tools to know that right. this is what comes with life, you feel what I'm saying? They think when life get hard, it's like, it's just over with for me. It's a wrap, because the circumstances, they seen it over and over. They seen my uncle, when life got hard, he turned to drugs. He turned to this. And it was, you know what I'm saying? They think they don't have no hope. You feel right. what I'm saying? So that's why it'd be important for me to do the small things, like the smallest things, to just show them, just pull up, like show them it's tangible. Like, you could really be me. You could be better than me. You could have everything I got and some more. You feel what I'm saying? Like, and that's what's important. That's why I'd be starting with, like, the youth, and I go touch the people.
Well, because that, like, you getting these 10-year-olds, these 8, 9, 10-year-olds, in 5 years, is going to be 15.
In 15, in 5 years, quick, like this, I see.
And so are we making sure that those 8, 9, 10-year-olds have the love, support, and exposure that when they turn 15,
exactly,
and they're at those crossroads, we could potentially make these life-changing and by changing, I mean ending.
Yeah.
Decisions. Are they? Do they know they have the support, the love, and the opportunities to really
way.
Thrive? Because it could go
either way. Could you imagine, like, pouring just all the opportunities, knowledge? You feel what I'm saying, into a 8, 9, 10-year-old, like somebody that really. These kids could wake up in the morning and don't even have nothing to eat. You feel what I'm saying? Like, don't even know what their next meal gonna be when they go to school. You feel what I'm saying? Imagine you having the opposite of that. They got everything they need to succeed at 10. By the time they 15, they gonna be a beast. You feel what I'm saying? But absolutely. When you pour all nothing but negativity and bad energy and hate into this same 10-year-old, by the time they 15, they gonna be the same type of beast, but a completely opposite kind of beast. You feel what I'm saying? Like, that's what people need to understand, the reality of things are. You feel what I'm saying? Like, it's so much stuff that I learned just really taking a step back from the streets and taking a step back from everything and just focusing on myself and locking in and focusing on what's important to me, which is growing as an artist and as a man and, like, taking care of the people that I love and giving back to my city in every way, because I know it's too much hate in my city. You feel what I'm saying? And at the same time, it's too much love there. So why not just pour that love back into this city full of hate and just see what we get back, what come back from it? You know what I'm saying? I learned that just by sitting back watching, you feel what I'm saying, and getting with people who really in the mix. You know, like, I do a lot behind the scenes in Chicago. You know, like, I'm partnered with the Chicago Bulls. I got my own initiative, Swerving Through Stress, them for kids. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I'm partnered with my homie, Deion Dawson. We got some Deion Chicago Dream, where we feeding over 100 families. It costs $1,000 to feed a family throughout the year. You feel what I'm saying? I donated $150,000 of my own money to feed 150 families. It's 500 families on the waiting list. You feel what I'm saying? But I want to talk about that stuff more, because I got the influence. I got my homies. You never know. One of my homies might say, huh, here go $20,000, $50,000. You feel what I'm saying? That's 50 families. And all 500 of these families could be fed just by me speaking on it. One of my homies like, oh, Herb doing this? Don't even think it is this. You feel what I'm saying?
And a lot of times people just aren't aware that these artists are doing it. I'm glad you're here. Some artists don't want to share because they like, you know, I don't want that to, you know, I don't want people to think I'm doing it for clout, et cetera, et cetera. But the other side of that is communities and families are hoping that someone will say, yo, I'm down to help. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad you're sharing, and I'm proud of you. You know what I'm saying? I always love talking
appreciate
to you.
It, bro.
You got the new record with Future. Why don't you tee
that
up,
blues,
man? It just
man.
Dropped. Blues.
Blues, me and my dog Pluto, man. You know, and It's crazy because I never even seen myself being able to like work with artists like Future. You feel what I'm saying? Or being able to even have these songs that's on the radio going crazy. Like I never thought I'd be one day like making real hit records that the club turning up to now. I just thought I was just going to be always MC. Just he know how to rap for 5 minutes straight. You feel what I'm saying? Like I just grown all the way as an artist and everything.
So let's play.
And this
man,
is off
Blues.
Survivor's Remorse.
Survivor's Remorse, man. October 10/7. It's the day before my birthday, man. I'll be 27 on October 8th.
There you go.
There it is.
Yo, happy birthday.
Appreciate
early.
It, bro.
Happy birthday.
Yo, give it Herbo. Up. Herbo. Yes, sir.
Game.
On September 17th, Howard and Morehouse will go head-to-head at MetLife Stadium in the HBCU New York Football Classic. For months, Hot 97 has followed these teams on their journey to New York City.
Say it.
We've witnessed their hard work, their passion, and their dedication to the game. Check out Hot 97's newest podcast, Captains and Majors, everywhere a podcast is streamed, made hot by Orocash.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Montana, DeVito, Roller Brook, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Fari, 41 Cal Rich, Jet Carter, Tata, Chef G is home, baby, Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie, Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C,
Mr. C, Step Swimming,
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns, yours truly the curator, the lit DJ Funk Flex on the set. Hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stiles. 30th anniversary of Summer Jam. 30% off right now.